That's funny. Jen, you got any?
I have a question. We did a pre-Paracon show this week, and we were going through the guest list, and there you were. And we got sidetracked for a long time talking about Bigfoot. And so
that's what happens when I drink Surge.
I think one of the people in the chat room asked about what is the difference between Bigfoot and Yeti? Are they the same thing?
Right. Well, first of all, Sasquatch, which is a Canadian name, and Bigfoot are the same. Bigfoot actually came into being in 1958 from the California reports. The word Sasquatch was different native names put together in the 1929. So those two are the same creature. They're upright, about 6.5 to 8 feet tall, never come down on all fours, covered in various hair colors all the way from sandy color to black and red. And their footprint is anywhere from 14 to 19 inches with 5 toes that all go straight out, you know, just like humans. The big difference is there's no arch. It's kind of looks like a flat foot. That's much different than the Yeti. The Yeti, which is in the Abominable Snowman, really came about into our consciousness in the 1800s, but the names Snowman and different things came in about 1929. Those all are rock apes, as we characterize them. They come down on all fours. They're sometimes a little bit shorter. They're black, more black, dark brown, and their foot looks like your hand. So there's a toe that goes out to the side, more like an orangutan.
Really?
The whole idea that they're white, that is a total American folklore.
That's sort of like Frosty the Snowman when they...
That is where it started. The Bumble in Rudolph the Red-Nosed...
That's what it was.
Yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer really brainwashed Americans into thinking the Yeti is white. But if you talk to the native peoples, if you look in other countries, and you look in the art in some of these books, you see they're really brown. They're dark colors.
Really? Wow. Now, okay, I heard from a medicine woman in the Turtle Mountain Reservation, which is in northern North Dakota. She was talking about Kitchisabe, which is how they say basically Bigfoot in the Ojibwe language, which, and you are on an Ojibwe reservation here at Waiter,
right. Yes.
At the Paracon Convention. And she was talking about Kitchisabe and seeing him on the side of the road. She would actually pray, asking for Kitchisabe to protect her from deer crossing the road in front of her when she was driving in the wilderness at night. And so sometimes she'd be driving along and she would see the Bigfoot right there holding, making sure the deer didn't come up on the road. And she had talked about seeing the ones that were the darker fur that we would normally think of as Bigfoot. And then she said there were taller ones that were white that were with them. And she just thought they were all Kitchisabe. But have you heard reports of that before?
Yeah, there's... I haven't heard so much the white. There's in Ontario, there was one of the kind of over the years of Bigfoot that was called Old Yellowtop because he actually had blonde hair up here.
And did he look like Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
No.
Donald borrowed his hair.
He made the motion with his hand. I just got a vision of the Trump's hair.
And what happened is over the years, he, like in the 1930s, they started seeing him. And then in the 60s and 90s, and it used to be Yellowtop, and then it became Old Yellowtop because the local people actually saw it grow older. Now what, in addition to Yeti, Bigfoot, there's all kinds of other ones. What I did a whole book about was the true giants, because what seems to be happening beyond Bigfoot, there are these other ones that are taller, thinner, and 20 feet tall. 15
wow.
to 20 feet tall. So this native woman may actually be seeing both of those in one area and putting them all together with the local name.
Are they usually white then, the taller ones?
No.
I suppose just like anybody, there could be some that's...
There are some that look... I mean, like, if you look at gorillas, there's the silverbacks.
Yes.
You know, they go... I mean, look at myself. You know, I've got white hair. I'm a primate. I'm a higher primate, supposedly. Sometimes a little color, but you know, the actual idea that the hair changes with the older ones is very true. It's just that this whole idea that there's all white ones in the Himalayas in the snow is more the mythical thing. There's different colors that we've seen, like in Pennsylvania, there's been waves of reports in the 70s of lighter colored ones. So you kind of feel like there's individual variations, just like there is in our population.
Wow.
So you might get sometimes where kind of they're growing older.
He's listening to us.
I don't know. He might be wanting to buy something from me.
Oh. No, he was at the restaurant last night when we were there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good choice, by the way, too. That restaurant was really good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I think we just have to open our minds to the possibility that it's not just one Bigfoot, which is the first battle that I always have to deal with. You know, one Loch Ness Monster, one Yeti, one Bigfoot, but you get beyond that. And so you think about it, there's a breeding population. Baby Bigfoot exists,
right.
Adolescents, and then older ones. And so, and you actually look at you start compartmentalizing some of the reports. What are people reporting when they're near roads? What are people reporting when they're deeper in the woods? Most of the reports near the roads are young adolescent males. And if you think about our young adolescent males, what do they like to do? They like to get in their cars and go racing around. So you have these young Bigfoot who are being pushed out from families,
right.
And they're running across the road in twilight in front of cars. Very dangerous activity. What do we hear from some of the hikers, the more native people that go deeper in the woods, the lumberjacks? Those people talk about family groups. So the deeper you get into the wilderness areas or the forest, you're going to find all kinds of different ages. The closer you get to habitation, trailers, city limits, roads, you get these younger ones. And so it's not, a lot of people don't understand that we're trying to describe a new species based on 3 seconds of observations.
Right.
So people imagine all kinds of lifetimes. Oh, they must eat salmon, or they're trading with us because they left salmon on a rock. No, maybe they're just, you know, untidy.
True.
So we're projecting a lot of our own feelings on what they're doing and what they're thinking. And they could just be doing pure impulse things, pure, you know, kind of intuition on their part.
Right.
It has nothing to do with any kind of intellectual capabilities behind it. Because the people come into this field and they say, oh, don't you think they're from UFOs? Don't you think
right.
they have telepathy? Could they be fourth dimensional? And it's because of the frustration of not finding it, not classifying it. So people keep coming up with all of these theories to explain why there's no evidence or whatever.
What do you think?
I think, most of all, that we need to find them first.
Right.
We need to look for the evidence, we need to prove them, and we need to think about the theories later. I'm very anthropologically and biologically based, but I have this whole area of psychology in my training and my life too. And so I have room enough to listen to everybody's theories, but it really gets in the way. We need to just go out there, and it's actually women that are going to discover them. If you think about what Leakey...
Hey there, big boy.
What Leakey did with the higher apes is, you know, Diane Fossey, you know, Jane Goodall.
Oh, yeah.
Women have a better rapport with the great apes. And we as men put out a pheromone that the Bigfoot apes don't want to be around. So
right.
My whole theory is you put 2-3 women that can get along, put them out in the wilderness for 6 months, and it'll hide Bigfoot activity area. Just leave them alone. No contact.
9 months later, they'll have a Bigfoot child.
No,
I'm just kidding.
But you want non-smokers.
Right.
You want people that don't have guns or anything with oil or metal. And you don't want to have them feel so afraid they have to bring their dog with them.
Right.
So there's different kind of common sense things that people aren't thinking through. And I think that's one of my theories as far as how it will be discovered. The other is it will be hit by a lumber truck. One of them will be hit by a lumber truck and then we'll find them.
Right. Now, here, sorry to interrupt you. We go to Friday Harbor, Washington quite a bit, and we go whale watching for the orcas. Orcas are just amazing creatures. The only enemy, just like Bigfoot, is man, you know. But now, with orcas, you never find their dead. And a lot of people say, well, you know, big feet can't live forever. When they die, what happens to them? Now, with orcas, they say that the other orcas will dive down deep with them, with the bodies. They'll, like two or three will go down, and they'll actually put them into caves where they'll never come back out again. That's why their bodies are never found.
Well, with Bigfoot, I start from the simple premise of the number of Bigfoot is very small. Let's say in the Pacific Northwest there's 2,000. High number of 4,000. Grover Krantz once estimated that for every one Bigfoot, there are 10,000 black bear.
What?
10,000 black bear.
Okay.
So, Grover Krantz, myself, and others have gone around the country, and we ask hunters, we ask trappers, we ask game wardens, how often do you find a black bear body in the woods? How often do you find a mountain lion body in the woods? And the answer is always never.
That's true.
And so, and
that's
the,
true.
The
other, you know, that's the first time I ever thought of that.
And the other thing, up in Maine, we have 25,000 moose and upwards of 50,000 deer. Every winter, they drop their antlers. All those people from all over the rest of the United States that come to hike in the spring in Maine, they're not tripping over big piles of antlers. Where do all the antlers go? They're eaten by small rodents. The number one animal that everybody can really kind of identify with that eats all the antlers are porcupines.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. I remember that. My grandfather taught me when I was a kid, if you see an antler, do not pick it up. That's porcupine favorite food.
And they bring them back to their caves, and they eat them throughout. That's where they get the calcium for their quills.
Yeah.
But think about it. There could be huge piles in the state if there weren't all of these animals.
Right.
And they disappear in one season.
That's true.
And
that
so
true.
if you project that there's one Bigfoot, 10,000 bear, and so let's say in this area of Minnesota, maybe in, and if the lifespan of Bigfoot is about the same as humans, you can have one in six, you know, one in once every 60 years, two or three of them might die.
Wow, yeah.
And then the body's going to disappear. You know why we find human bodies in the woods? They usually die from exposure or murder. If it's murder, the reason we usually, the police or hikers, they're usually wrapped in plastic or a rug or something, so it slows decomposition. The other reason is, I hate to bring this up, but we humans eat lots of toxics in terms of food additives. If a animal's looking to eat something in the woods, that one creature they avoid to eat is humans, because we're full of poison.
I believe that.
So there's all of these things that are going on in the natural world that Bigfoot will decompose. It'll disappear as quickly as the bear's dying or the deer antlers or whatever. You know, the people have said, well, they're drawn up into the UFOs, or they bury their dead, or they're putting them in caves. We don't need those kinds of answers. You just look at the natural world, and you're not finding big animals dead in the woods. You find a deer skull, maybe, but you don't find the antlers. Think about it.
Right, that's true. You got one more question for them?
Is there such an animal that is like a six-toed giant?
Well, that's what's kind of intriguing. As you look around the United States, is one example. Out on the West Coast, there was a period in which lots of people were reporting three-toed Bigfoot, some six-toed. The true giants that I talked about all around the world seem to always have four toes. So there's some variation in the number of toes among some of the these animals that are cryptids or hominids. Six toes is much, much rarer. Hardly ever find that. And you can kind of understand the four-toed. If something's getting 20 feet tall and very, very thin, they may be actually losing one of their toes or it coming up in a different way. But the three-toed are harder to explain and understand. And then six toes just seem to be an abnormality. Because you have six-toed people, too.
We do have six-toed people, but there are petroglyphs around the world that talk about the six-toed giants that eat people.
It's funny whenever you think about how people talk about the giants being cannibals. Well, are they cannibals or not? You know, they're not cannibals.
Yeah, they're obviously not human.
Right.
No, that's, it goes along the same thing. I remember when I was a kid, kids used to always try to scare other kids. And they'd see, if you see this brown car behind you and, you know, there's no driver in it, you're dead. Really? How do you know?
Right.
Have you ever seen one? But then how are you going to tell us if you've seen one? You know,
right.
It was so stupid. It used to scare the hell out of me when I was a kid.
It's like Yogi Berra, who said, you know, something along the lines, if he doesn't come to my funeral, I'm not going to come to his.
Yeah. I was thinking Yogi Berra for saying, no, Yogi Berra. Yeah, exactly. Let's give him our last question of the day.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
I don't usually eat pizza because I'm lactose intolerant.
Awesome.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So what kind of pizza do you think Bigfoot likes the best?
Bigfoot eats anything. Any flavor.
No, so thin crust?
Yeah. I mean, I eat all kinds of pizzas as long as I can go to a place that's friendly enough to leave the cheese off.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, and I like pesto on my, instead of red sauce sometimes.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, Norman, this has been, Norman, why do I do that again?
Lauren
Coleman, I am so sorry. Thank you so much for coming on. This is like,
Norm and I will appear next time.
There you go. I know Stephanie's eating her heart out, my wife. She has a show on Para X also. She takes our last Wednesday of the month, and it's called The Gathering.
Right.
And she was telling me, she goes, I'm going to talk to Lauren Coleman and get him on the show. I said, really? Oh, okay.
Until you wanted to beat her up?
We beat her up on everything.
But seriously, when we were talking about you on the show this week, we were live, and the listeners were chatting up, and they want to know
more.
There's
a chat room on Para X.
Would you be willing to come on our show and answer questions to the listeners?
Sure, sometime that we can work it out in my busy, busy schedule.
I'm
moving a whole museum in the next 6 months. So
yeah, you're going to be busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. Yeah,
we'll probably call them like 6 months later and be like, what?
So do you ask the pizza question because you're usually in the pizza parlor?
No, we what?
Do you?
I think Jerry's hungry.
I'm starved.
Do you ask the pizza question at the end of the show because you're in a pizza parlor?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
No, it was weird because we were over talking to ghost hunters over here, and it just came up, you know. And it was, I thought, you know, it's got to be a weird question. So we've been asking everybody that question.
Oh.
MPF, Minnesota Paranormal Files, Midwest Paranormal Files. I almost said porn files. That's not right. Midwest Paranormal Files.
Editing of this?
They thought we were going to cut that up and use it for something naughty.
Oh.
And it's like, no, it's just a question, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, great. This is so cool. Again, thank you so much, man.
I'd love to volunteer to be the woman put in the woods to wait for the Bigfoot. I would love that.
And you should ask for two.
All right. We are back. Jen, you there?
I am here, Jerry.
Caught me off guard on that one. I was like, what did I? Then I remembered I muted my mic. That was, Lauren Coleman to me was like one of the best interviews. I think I enjoyed it.
I love that man. He is amazing. I could talk to him all day.
I know. You know, it's funny because I remember when I first asked him when we first got there, he said, well, you know, yeah, I would have a few minutes. Few minutes. I mean, that went on forever.
An hour later.
Yeah. He's really great. I can't wait to get him on the show. And, you know, to get him on, and especially to talk about you girls, if you guys finally get everything together for the She Squatchers.
That's pretty cool. All
did y'all hear me volunteer to be the woman that finds the Bigfoot?
Steph would be the first one that wants to look him eye to eye. Right, eye to eye. She's five. How tall is your mom? Nice talking to you, Casey.
What?
Okay, how tall is mother?
Five.
Five even?
5'2". But she's going to tell you 5'4".
Oh, yeah. She lies on her right. Anyway, but Jen, you would pretty much look him right on the eye.
I don't think so, Jerry. Isn't Bigfoot supposedly extremely tall?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, 7 feet.
Yeah, but I'm not even close to that. I'm well under 6 feet.
You're not.
By a lot. I may look like I tower over your wife because she's so short.
She is.